Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. I'm with you once again this morning by the Lord's will to share the treasure of God's Word as we find it in Ephesians chapter 1 today. Please turn there in your Bibles if you are able to do that. And it's the free grace of God, this wonderful gift of salvation that comes to us because the Father has willed to save us, that we rejoice in today. This marvelous gift of grace, something that God has done for us that we do not deserve. He has saved us, though we deserved sure and certain eternal judgment because we have sinned against God. Yet God, in marvelous mercy, has forgiven us of our sins and instead gifted us and led us to receive this great salvation, which is our eternal blessing. And wonderfully, God is glorified and He is praised for His glorious grace that has come to us. We who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have repented of our sins. We find in Ephesians chapter 1 that Paul himself, the great apostle who had been touched by God, who received this great free gift of God himself, then went to Ephesus and preached the glorious good news that there is salvation for any sinner who will simply receive it because of the righteous Christ. And so it is that he came and taught the Ephesians about Christ and God, and how it is that God dearly loved them and sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, that he was crucified for sinners, that he took the place of all who entrust their lives to him, and who truly turn fully to God in this marvelous grace that comes to us through the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached the good news and souls were turned to God. People were saved and the church in Ephesus was planted. And then Paul, who loved the people who came to Christ, prayed for them. That's really one of the focuses of our teaching today. Paul's prayer and his thoughts about the Ephesian Christians. And so, my friends, we rejoice in Christ this morning, and we thank him for the good he intends for us. We are also encouraged in today's teaching, my friends, to pray like Paul prayed for others. Amen. Glorious truth, wonderful truth. May it wash over our souls, cleanse us of our sins, lead us to take much joy in God and therefore give him high glory. My friends, let us pray. Father, we do thank you. How glorious you are. How wonderful you are to give us this free gift, this gift of salvation, something that we can never manufacture, that we could never obtain, unless it is that you gave it freely to us. We receive it, Lord. We receive your grace to your praise now, and we thank you. Father, I pray for the salvation of my listeners. I pray that your true people will be deeply encouraged and stirred to prayer. Lord, how I long to pray like Paul, who loved the people of Ephesus. And so, God, bless your word to our hearts once again, and have your glory in this time in which we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My friends, my name is James Robinette. I'm a missionary here in the Kampala area, and my contact number is 0782-652-143. You can learn more about our ministry at www.actionuganda.net. Let me just add that we have some very good teaching and discipleship materials at that website. Please visit that site, www.actionuganda.net, and then click on the materials section And you will find several very good Bible studies and discipleship helps there. Please feel free to photocopy those, download those materials, and use them. Amen. My friends, let me read for you again God's wonderful word this morning, beginning in verse 15 of Ephesians 1. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Amen. May the Lord add his gracious blessing to the words we have just received. And so, my friends, once again, we are presented with glorious truth, golden words. Paul speaks here of the fact that he, amongst others, had heard of the saving faith of the Ephesians and their true love for the saints, because they truly had come to love God first. And Paul rejoices in this kind of glorious exaltation, which leads him to teach about prayer and about how it is that he prays for the Ephesians. Paul rejoices highly in God's great work of salvation, that the Ephesians, too, are recipients of the sovereign grace of God, the free grace of God. So that in verse 16, Paul is led by the Spirit to continue to give thanks for them. The New King James says, "Do not cease to give thanks for you." Paul thanks God and then continues to thank God, and then, my friends, wonderfully, continues to thank God when he remembers this church. Wow, what a glorious example we have before us here in our text this morning of the work of God's grace to transform a people and for his glory to reside in a local Christian church. God was present in the Ephesian church. The glory was revealed. And Paul, upon remembering this and of hearing about this glory which was in the Ephesian church from others, is led to thank God. In this, Paul praises God. The apostle who teaches us to be thankful for all things, to be thankful in all conditions and circumstances in life, to be thankful and not complain. And that's the tendency of the flesh, the unredeemed part of us, that when we come into some difficulty or discomfort or distress, we are tempted to complain, and in this, actually credit God with evil or wrong. Complaining, in essence, is the opposite of thankfulness. And when we complain, we think about God in this way. We think of him as somehow having done something wrong, that he has dealt with us wrongly, that he has caused us unjustly to feel some discomfort. And of course, that's absolutely untrue. God is perfect in all of his ways, and in his dealings with his people, he is holy. He always does exactly what is right His attitude is always perfect and loving and right towards us. And so it is that if we come into distress or discomfort in life, Paul calls us to remember the glorious grace of God that has come to us, the glory of God, and to thank Him for all things. I must share with you that I am especially tempted to complain. That is a real problem area in my life, in my spiritual life. I often come under distress and I complain quite often. It's a habit, and it's not a good habit. May God forgive me and change me. It would be much better for me to be silent and thankful in my heart, even in my silence, than to grumble or complain about my discomfort. I find that I can easily do that in my family. For instance, my dear wife loves me. She will always accept me no matter how I am. She won't stop loving me. She won't turn her back on me. But she hears me grumble quite often. I just communicate this distress that I'm in, and it really is grumbling. It's complaining. Somehow I kind of quarrel with God and don't just accept this circumstances which He has wisely brought into my life. This distress is absolutely necessary for me, or my good God and Father would not have allowed it to happen. It happens because it is necessary, and so I so often forget that, and I grumble and I complain. I'm not thankful, but I should be thankful. I should be thankful in all things, and I should look upon other Christians much more often, and like Paul, do not cease to give thanks for them. I do have to share with you this morning that I am thankful for my dear wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for dear Christian friends, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for you today, my friends. I'm thankful for ABC Radio. And when I think about individuals or churches and ministries, and I remember again God's good, which is very evident in them, then I am helped to be thankful. Well, my friends, what we see here is that Paul, in seeing and hearing of the wonderful grace of God, is led to praise the Father for the Ephesians, to give thanks for them, and to continue constantly to give thanks. Let us do that also. There's a clear and direct application here. Let us be thankful, especially for the grace of God seen in the churches and in other believers, and let us constantly thank God for His wonderful grace, which is manifested in His true people. Amen. Paul, exulting in God's wonderful grace that has come to the Ephesians, and part of this exaltation, I mentioned this last week quickly, is that Paul was their spiritual father. He looked upon the Ephesians as his spiritual children, and he had great joy that his children in Christ truly had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and were true lovers of God and therefore of the saints. Paul is bound to the Ephesians. He has become one with them in the Spirit. And so they rejoice in Christ and give God praise, and he shares in that joy that they have, and he rejoices in Christ also. So he is thankful for them. He is a partaker in their joy in Christ Jesus. They have become partakers with him in joy in Christ Jesus. And so Paul must make mention of them in his prayers. We find that in verse 16. Wonderfully, the grace of God leads us to be thankful for the saints and also to remember them in prayer. The exact wording is interesting here, making mention of you in my prayers. And so I want to offer some encouraging thoughts to you this morning about prayer, my friends. We see here in verse 16 that making mention of others is real prayer. It's a type of prayer. And I think what Paul has in mind here and the truth that the Holy Spirit is bringing through him is that Paul would reflect upon and remember and hear of certain individuals. At times he would hear and remember about the church as a whole. And when he hears about the individuals and the church as a whole, when he reflects upon them, when he remembers them, when he sees God's grace in them, then he reflects upon the individuals and makes mention of them. Perhaps it is that when he remembers the church as a whole, he prays to God, mentioning the Ephesian church in his prayer. And I would think that his making mention does not involve a lot of intercession, but really just kind of a mentioning their names, their persons, and the fact that the church has received grace. It's undoubtedly true that Paul must have often deeply prayed for individuals and the church as a whole, and that he brought many petitions, made supplication for these individuals and for the church. But here the idea is that He remembers them, and he will always mention them to God, perhaps at times praying more deeply for them, praying with more detail for them, praying with a greater understanding and making many more petitions and supplications for them. And so, my friends, here's our direct application. When we pray, it is appropriate for us at times to make mention of other believers. And I'm discovering in my prayer life, which I thank God for and which has been developing by the grace of God, especially in the last couple of years, and what a blessing that has been to me, that the Spirit leads me to pray more for certain individuals and to make more petitions for those individuals, to make supplication and actually to bring many supplications for some individuals. And that he leads me to merely mention others at another time. And so if I'm really following the Spirit's leading, then I will make mention of others as is appropriate, and I will pray more fully for others as is appropriate. I think you get the idea. That's how I understand this expression. Paul would often remember them and mention them in his prayers to God. And in the next section of verses, we find some of the things that he indeed did pray for, and how it is that he did pray more deeply for them. And these are just wonderful helps, wonderful encouragements for us in prayer. We find in the teaching here how it is that we are to pray for others. And so, my friends, let me again just kind of clarify this idea of making mention in our prayers. When you pray, you will find your heart going out to certain individuals, and you will pray much more fully for those individuals. At times you will find that you merely mention someone in prayer and that you don't spend quite as much time or fullness of prayer for them at that particular time. That's really quite okay. And so we really need the Spirit's help to teach us to pray. It's appropriate to mention others, and it is appropriate to pray much more fully for others as the Spirit leads us. We find in Paul's writings, in his epistles, that at times he will also mention individuals in his letters. He doesn't go into a lot of detail. He simply mentions their names almost as though he is listing their names. He recognizes them. Other individuals, though, he writes about and explains much more fully about them and their circumstances and their issues in life. And so I think we can understand this, that this is really a common part of our lives. At times we have a mention of someone. At times we dwell much more fully on someone. And so this is true and indicative of how it is that we pray for others too. And so that's really quite okay. There is one danger that we do want to avoid in our prayer, though, and that is simply to bring a list before God. That is, we just have a list of names or a list of needs, and we just kind of recite either in our minds or even vocally reciting, saying this list, and then just feel that we have prayed. Now, prayer involves more than just making a list and bringing it to God. In fact, that is not honorable to God. We don't just come to Him with our list of needs and present them and feel that He is then obligated to meet our list. That's a danger that we want to avoid, but nevertheless, it is appropriate at times to mention others. Now, we find here that as Paul talks about mentioning the Ephesians in prayers, he is connecting this mentioning with a deeper, fuller intercession for them. And some of the things that he prays for them. And so we're going to take a look at this in the next few weeks together. Christmas is coming, and we will probably have a Christmas sermon, I would think. But we want to take some time and just look at these petitions, these supplications that he made for them, and what it is that the apostle was led by the Spirit to pray for them as he made mention of them, as he remembered them, and then also did pray more fully for them. I want to begin this section of Scripture with some encouragements to prayer. And so I want to share with you this morning some thoughts about prayer as an encouragement to prayer. Paul is going to teach us now about prayer for the Ephesians. And the Word of God has great and rich encouragement for us about prayer. We find in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, about the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Our Savior, the perfect, eternal, holy Son of God, and the perfect and holy Son of Man, often went apart into the wilderness to be alone with God and prayed. That's a great encouragement to us to pray. We find in 2 Samuel 21:14 another encouragement to prayer, and that is that after prayer, God heeded the prayer for the land. The person, the man praying, prays for God's mercy, for his good to come to the land or to the nation. And this wonderful encouragement is that God heard the prayer, heeded the prayer, answered the prayer, gave what was prayed for, what was requested, and brought that requested blessing to the nation. We find in Isaiah chapter 32:36, wonderfully, that the Lord who hears our prayer has compassion upon us. And I believe we can understand that God will help us when we are weak. And God will help us when we are weak in prayer. And let me just say at this point that that is a condition that we are especially susceptible to. Prayer is difficult for us. It is rather seldom that we are actually strong in prayer, I think. That verse says this, For the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone. The verse really is saying that when we are weak, God is compassionate. He knows us. He judges us. He discerns our state. And he helps us. He shows us mercy. He brings strength to us when we are weak. And so, my friends, when you pray and seek to pray and you see that you are weak, then be encouraged. God has compassion on you. God sees that you're trying to pray. He understands you. And he sees when you struggle in prayer, which is often for us, and when you are weak, he will strengthen you. He will help you. And so we are encouraged to continue to pray. We find in Luke chapter 9 and verse 10b, then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ goes to be alone with God. As we saw there in Luke chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus went out into the wilderness alone to pray. And so it is that in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, that he continued all night in prayer to God on the mountain. He went out there by himself. So it is that here he goes to a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida privately. And he took people with him at this particular time. As I remember, it is that he took his disciples there. And we would think that, as always, the Lord, who was perfectly, constantly prayerful, went to this deserted place to pray. And surely his disciples at that time saw him pray and somehow joined him in prayer. And so it is, my friends, that we find in Luke chapter 9 and verse 18 another indication that the Lord prayed, and it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Jesus, our wonderful Savior, the man of perfect prayer, is seen in these verses to pray, my friends, and to help us to pray when we are weak in this discipline, in this grace of God, prayer. And so it is that the Lord went to be alone and pray to his Father. And so let's make a quick application now. Time is going this morning, but let us seek God. Be alone with God today and let your heart go out to him in prayer. And my friends, make mention of others. Pray more fully for certain individuals and churches and ministries, for peoples, as the Spirit leads you. We thank God for his wonderful grace, and may he bless you today. Father, thank you for the word. Teach us from it, and we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.